like this. And Pastor Wayne, I think, talked to you all about the parable of the sower, the farmer, the seed, and the soil. And so today, I'm going to share with you all about another parable that we find in Luke. And it's these parables about the mustard seed and the yeast, which you just read on the screen. You know, sometimes when we hear this, the mustard seed, we automatically want to jump to this verse about having faith the size of a mustard seed. You know, with understanding that the mustard seed is very small. But today we won't be in that passage, but you can use what you know from there to help us as we navigate these parables. But before we get there today, I want us to back up to see and hear what was happening before we get to this. And I always say this because it's always important, but these parables don't just drop out of the sky. So I want to give us some context of why Jesus was saying what he said. Right before our parables from today, we find Jesus, and he's teaching in the synagogue, and it's on the Sabbath. And there is a woman who has been crippled for 18 years. She has been bent over and not able to sit up. And Jesus, he heals her. And in doing so, he makes the leaders mad, so much so that the passage reads, "The synagogue leader said to the people, 'There are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on one of those days, not on the Sabbath.' And Jesus responded to him, 'You hypocrites, doesn't each of you untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to get it water? Then why should not this woman, who is a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from what bound her?'" Jesus, he humiliates the synagogue ruler and those who are opposing his decision to heal this woman. You have this group of people who are so rule-driven that they can't even see the irony in their own statement until Jesus points it out. And you know, he was really good at this, at messing with their ideals, at flipping the script on all the things that they taught. You know, they had all these rules in the place that they thought meant this, but Jesus tells them over and over, "You're missing the point. It's not intended to be this way. It's not intended to be that way. It's like this." And so right after he heals this woman, he leads us into this parable from today. And he asks, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? Is it like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden? It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Now, you may hear this and think, wow, you know, this little old mustard seed is going to grow into this huge tree. But that's really not how it goes. In our world today, we would equate a mustard seed growing into more of a shrub or a bush than an actual tree. They only grow to be about 10 feet tall. So it's not that they're, even though they're not growing up very tall, they actually grow out very wide and they're hard to get rid of. And it almost reminds me of the plant kudzu. You know, you see it when you're driving around. But unlike it, which just really covers all the things, these mustard bushes, they attract the birds like crazy. So for these folks listening to this that day with Jesus, they would have understood that it's like inviting these birds to eat and mess up your harvest. And so this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying this kingdom work, this healing work, this small hidden work that is making all of these people in charge mad, it's just going to keep happening. And it's going to grow and spread like these mustard bushes. The people like this woman who has bent over, who somebody who has had to probably beg and take from other people, people like her, they're going to keep discovering Jesus. And it's those like her who sometimes the leaders and higher up think don't deserve it, they are the ones that are going to spread the kingdom until it is out of control, wild and all over the earth. I found a quote from one commentator, and he said, "It's as if Jesus were saying, 'Ha, we're like mustard. We're a nuisance to the powers that be, but we're here now, and they can't get rid of us.'" I think I like that the kingdom is like this nuisance. You know, Jesus is saying all it takes is just something to take root, and bam, you're stuck with us. His word is going to grow everywhere, even in the places and the people that we don't want it to or we don't think it should. It's going to invade all of our space, and ultimately, all of our fruit will be affected by it. And right after that, Jesus, he goes on to ask the exact same question again. What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? And this time he says, it is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Again, you know, what is the kingdom of God like? It's like this. Now, I'm sure that we have some bakers in here, that some of you all know all about yeast and all about how it works. But I'm going to be real honest in saying that I'm pretty sure that I have never made anything where I had to actually open a packet of yeast to make this product. So I had to look it up, and when I did, you know, Google is your friend, I was reminded that yeast is an organism. It's a fungus. And until it is mixed with a warm liquid substance, it basically doesn't do anything. But once it is activated, this organism, it eats all the sugar and it produces carbon dioxide, which causes the dough to rise. And this is a very slow process. Once the yeast is mixed into the flour, you can't even really see it. It's almost like it's hidden. But then it starts working and it spreads and it makes the magic happen. Jesus, again, is saying the kingdom is like this. It starts with something small and insignificant, and it spreads out and it gets bigger. But there's even more to this passage from today, because we love yeast and what it does for our bread. But we have to think about the times and who Jesus was talking to. Jesus knew that yeast was excluded at Passover. At all of the important religious meals, the Jews ate bread that purposefully had no yeast. It was unleavened, not raised. And they avoided it in these meals because to them, yeast was considered unholy and unclean. So Jesus is saying that the kingdom is like this unclean, unholy yeast that is working its way through the rest of the flour, raising it all up. I'm sure these leaders were thinking, okay, you know, first off, he has healed this woman on the Sabbath. And now he is telling us that this unclean stuff is going to be what makes the kingdom grow. This kingdom that he's talking about, I can imagine that it didn't go over very well. But this woman who is needing this 60 pounds of flour, again, I'm not a baker, but 60 pounds sounds like a whole lot of flour. She shows us how this kingdom is going to work, this hidden work of the yeast, this thankless work of the woman, the slow work of the dough rising. But this woman, who is working away hours that it would take kneading this dough that's containing the yeast, she is showing us how the kingdom is going to grow. Because the kingdom that Jesus is talking about is going to accept the people that are considered unholy or unclean, strange or maybe foreign, a little rough around the edges, some people who don't know all the rules yet or they choose to not follow all the rules yet. The yeast represents to us the people that used to be rejected, but they are the very ones that will be used to raise everyone else up. They are the ones that will make God's kingdom grow. And so, here's what I think Jesus is helping us see, one of the things that I think he's helping us see in these parables. And that's Jesus is telling them and us that all it takes is one seemingly insignificant action that can change the world. You know, we may not see the results immediately. We, in our own lifetime, may not see the results ever. But they happen. And we see this happen and play out in our world today all the time in big and little ways. You know, these are our stories that we love the most, where we see these folks who say, hey, I had this amazing teacher or this neighbor or this community member who said this one thing to me, who did this one thing for me, and it changed my world. It changed my future. You you know, these changes happened by somebody doing something so small that they really didn't even recognize what they were doing at the time. We see this happen in other ways where it may not change the future in a big way, but it can definitely have an impact. This is done a lot by strangers choosing to do something kind for someone that they meet. Choosing to be kind to someone. Choosing to pay for the person's behind you's food or coffee in the drive-thru. Asking the person in front of you, hey, how was your day? These are little things, but we see and hear stories of how they can make a major impact in somebody's life. No one hearing Jesus that day would have thought something as little and insignificant as a mustard seed or yeast could change the kingdom. But Jesus is telling them, yes, they can and they will. You know, in these parables, I also think that Jesus is giving us a reality check about what the kingdom and the church is like and should be like. He's saying that the kingdom is going to be one where the outsiders are in, where those annoying birds are going to steal the seeds, where those wild, unruly mustard bushes are going to spread out everywhere, and where the yeast is going to work its way through every bit of it, where all will be accepted. And this is just one of those ways where the kingdom and the world that we live in are different. The kingdom isn't worried about being full of glory or worried about riches and fame. It takes work. It takes daily, hidden, thankless persistence. But Jesus says, you know what? Attending to that person in front of you, or loving that person in front of you, or maybe healing this woman who has been bent over for 18 years that everybody is tired of helping, or loving this woman who everyone else has written off. It is worth it. It is planting a seed for the coming kingdom. It is investing in the coming reign of God. Jesus tells us in these parables that our hidden work for the kingdom is not done in vain. Our acts of love are not done in vain. The thankless daily work that we do is not done in vain. It is building a kingdom that is like nothing we can imagine. You know, I think it's interesting that today, and this was totally not planned, by the way, when we are sharing this passage and learning about this passage of Jesus, who is telling these parables of what the kingdom is really like, about what it's, who is really going to be there, it falls on the day that we celebrate Pentecost. You know, a day where we celebrate when the Spirit filled all people, and where we mark the beginning of the Christian church. If you go over to Acts 2 and you read about Pentecost, you will read where the Spirit was poured out onto all the people. And the people are shocked. They're confused. They're talking in tongues. They're amazed. And so Peter, he stands up with the other disciples and he addresses the crowd. And he tells them what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. A spirit that will be poured out on all people. Those who are a nuisance. Those who need to be healed. Those who show up day in and day out to do the thankless, hard work. All of those who put their trust in Him. And this Spirit, it inspired the disciples to spend the rest of their lives spreading good news of Jesus to anyone that would hear it. Doing this slow, hidden and thankless work of God were like Jesus, it was not really welcomed by a lot of the leaders that they met. They were doing this difficult work of loving people that were different from them in the name of Jesus. These disciples spent the rest of their lives seeing God's Spirit turn this little group of people into a wild, unruly mustard bush that spread all over the world. They spent the rest of their lives witnessing God's Spirit take a little bit of yeast, this unexpected, unclean yeast, and working it into every corner of the earth. And so today, I want you to remember that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that descended upon the disciples on Pentecost, the same Spirit that turned those 12 into what we now know as the church that is continuing to grow, that is the same Spirit that is in each and every one of us today. It is that Spirit that is with you in the hard times and it inspires you to not give up. It is that Spirit that makes you say yes to something that is absolutely crazy if you really sat down and thought about it. It is that same Spirit that makes you get up and do something for somebody else even though you don't have time or it's hard or it's definitely not convenient, but you just feel it in your bones that that's what you're supposed to do. It is that same Spirit that gives you the capacity to change the world for yourself or for someone else. And it is that Spirit that is with us right here, right now. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this reminder. We thank you that sometimes we get so caught up in our worlds where we believe that we are just this little insignificant person, that we can only do so much. And God, today you remind us that we can do just as much as these mustard seeds and this yeast. That when we are open to your Spirit, to trusting in you, Lord, that you can use us to grow your kingdom. And so God, just open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to your word and to you so that we may be able to carry it to the ends of the earth. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. As we come to this time of communion, you know, on this day of Pentecost, where it says that the Spirit was poured out onto all people, all those.